Welcome everybody to Entrepreneur Live, and today we've got Matt Clark, and Matt's a cool guy and helps business to business crush LinkedIn with automation and AI. Matt, welcome.
Thanks for having me on, Barry. Excited to be here.
Great. Matt, tell us more about LinkedIn automation and AI, because I know the AI is really, really something that's hot at the moment, but please tell us more about all this exciting stuff on LinkedIn.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we've been in the lead generation game for the past 7 years now, and we've seen this whole spike, and LinkedIn was always like this, the naughty stepchild that no one wanted to talk to very much. And then there was a kickoff a couple of years ago, and then everyone jumped on the bandwagon, and then it just kind of became a bit of a spam fest. And we've been trying to navigate these waters for a long time, and then the whole excitement then, fell off a cliff a little bit because of the spam fest, and now it's ticking back up again. And the reason why we love LinkedIn so much is because it is essentially the world's largest network. And my background is door-to-door sales. So I did it in the UK for a year. I did it in South Africa for 4 years afterwards. I was one of those annoying gas and electric guys that try to get you to come back to the win back team. And for me, LinkedIn was just a place where we could go directly to the ideal client. We could open up a conversation, skip the gatekeepers, skip all the hurdles and the obstacles, speak directly to the person, get them on a call, and make them an offer. And when we started looking at what we were doing, it was working really well, but it was very time intensive. So there's a whole bunch of tools out there now that you can automate it, and now with the this blow up of AI, you can actually make it really, really personal. So we decided to combine our strategies that we've used over the years with automation and AI to give leverage and to make it super personal, to really focus on quality over quantity and building real relationships instead of just shooting with a shotgun and hoping that you hit something.
I think you're right though. When you look at LinkedIn, there's the right way to do it and the wrong way to do it. But it is like
Correct.
a sacred platform because it's where business people are. It's not like Facebook where
If
you
you
have
do it right.
and you've got it exactly. You've got to do it right. And I think what is it that I suppose that you can share with somebody that is unsure of what way to do it? So in other words, they've heard, oh, look, LinkedIn is the sacred ground. Here's what you need to do. Then they jump in and they're not sure. What would you advise, or what's the best way around that?
Yeah, perfect. Great question. So first thing is get really clear on who you're targeting. In fact, the more niche you go, the better it works on LinkedIn. I always give people advice. I'm like, if you're selling a very low ticket product or service, then LinkedIn's not going to be the place for you unless you're looking for ways to sell it en masse and you're looking for partners that can help drive that. But for most of the people that we work with and who we recommend for is that they've got high ticket services and they are selling to decision makers. They want to sell big high ticket service stuff to people who can actually afford it. So, because you want your time to be worth it, the time that you're spending on there. And if you're selling something small, you're going to put a lot of effort for not much return. So that's the first thing, is to make sure you're selling the right thing to the right people. The next thing is solve one big problem for one ideal client. Now, this is kind of in the setup stage, and this is to know, well, is this the right audience for me? So if we're looking for CEOs, we're looking for decision makers, anyone in the upper management, and you've got a high ticket offer to sell them, business owners, those sort of people, those are really, really good. And or people that have got your ideal network, your ideal clients as part of their network. So that's the first step. Get yourself positioned correctly. Show your ideal clients how you can solve their problem and how they can work with you before they even talk to you. Number one. Number two is start reaching out to people, start opening up conversations. And the first strategy that we take everyone through is what we call the ask interviews. And this is a little piece of the puzzle that most people miss, which is actually doing market research, right? Finding out what are their pains, what are their fears, what are their goals and desires. And that will actually help you to understand the market, what they're looking for, what they're willing to pay for, but also what to sell them as well. Now, typically, what we recommend with people is that to do 10 of these ask interviews. This is not a sale. It essentially becomes a discovery call, but it's not leading into a sell. And what we find is that on average, 50% of the people that they talk to will turn around and say, "Hey, can you help me solve this problem?"
Very good,
Yeah. So you're doing market research, but also generating leads at the same time.
It's amazing though, like when you can utilize, a lead. So I suppose it's a bit like everything, asking somebody to marry you on the first date, and that's people have this thing,
Exactly.
and I've done it, I'll throw my hands up, I started off with LinkedIn and, reaching out, and I go,
We've
yeah,
all done it.
here's what I do, and I can help you, and I'm a genius, and then you get zero, and
Yeah.
a lot of grief. But when you turn it on its head and do it like what you suggest, you being the expert, you can explain it to people better, because when you approach somebody in a different way, and you're approaching them on a building a relationship effectively, the same as you would in any other business relationship, you find then it starts to work, and then over time then you start to get people where you have conversations that sometimes turn into clients, but sometimes turn into where they become, like an affiliate for you. They start helping you.
Exactly. 100%. It's beautiful. I mean, anytime we launch a new offer into the marketplace or test a new message, we do ask interviews,
Yeah.
right? And inevitably what happens is that we pick up clients along the way. But we also find partners, we find suppliers, we find great people that want to come and work with us or can connect us to other people who would be a good fit for.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, look, and that's really what it's about, Matt, isn't it? It's fun. It's not like, I find, having worked with a lot of people, you find that some of them are, sometimes they can approach on a needy basis. They need to make money, they need to get clients, and then their text
Exactly.
messages are sort of, the vibration of the text message is actually the same process where they're very needy. Whereas when you flip it on its head and you're approaching a different way in a different direction, it tends to get different results.
It really does. And it's so interesting. What we've seen so many times is that when you go in with truly the idea of not making a pitch at the end, the whole energy of the conversation is different. You could be asking the exact same questions, you could be having the exact same conversation. But when you don't have that pressure and saying, oh, I've got to make a sale at the end of this, we're rather I'm going in and diving deep into what's truly in it for them. And the funny thing is I've done so many interviews like this where at the end I'm like, well, thank you very much. I'm going to send you this free thing as a thank you for your time. And yeah, if you want, I don't even say if you want help, I just say thank you and okay, we're done now. And then people are like,
Yeah.
oh, I thought we were going to like sell me something. Like, well, can you tell me more about what you do?
Genuinely. I love that, Matt. I actually had another podcast yesterday with a lady, and like that, we did it. She was talking about food trucks and setting up a business, an entrepreneur. And at the end of it, and I just said, okay, so tell us more about you. And she says, well, just reach out to me if you need me, and I'm on the platform. And that was it. And I was going to her, have you got a pitch? And she goes, no, not really. Let's go. I love it. But it's true, because when when you've that approach, and clearly that's why you're so good at what you do, it's because your approach to the business world and your profession oozes out, and of course then you almost
Yeah.
attract people without being needy or wanting.
100%. Now, you can also be strategic about this as well. All right. And, so for me, I've been in sales pretty much my whole life. And I love to sell because, and I love to sell something good, especially. I always say to our clients, and, some of them don't want to position themselves. And a lot of the feedback that we get from people is they're like, I don't want to make that promise in case I can't deliver.
Yeah.
And I say to them, well, let's flip that on its head and let's say, let's make the promise and figure out how you can help people get to that consistently. And I always say to them, it's like, if you don't believe in your product, like your product needs to be so good, you would be happy to sell it to your parents, to your family,
Yeah, that's it.
right? When I was selling telephone systems and I had that business, I mean, we built a $6 million a year business selling telephones door to door, like PBXs to businesses. And, I sold to my dad. My dad's got one. I sold to my uncle. I sold to my mom's company because I'm like, I know we got something amazing and I'm going to deliver on it. And there's no such thing as family discounts. You're paying the price. I'll take you for dinner.
That's another really good point you've made there, because again, when you find, I find with coaches, consultants, and they don't believe in what they're doing sometimes, and then they're trying to sell
Exactly.
somebody that they actually don't believe in themselves. And like what you just said, I normally say to them, look, go to a family member, you know, get them on board.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it brings out the true value of what they're thinking about. And then you've just got to change that and start to believe in what they're doing, because it changes lives, like what you do. You know, you're reaching out, it changes lives by doing it the way you're meant to do it professionally. And enjoy it. Have fun while you're doing it.
100%. And I think also part of it comes down to the environment that you create around it. Because if you create an environment, and you know, this is a mistake a lot of people do as they're getting into business, is that they say yes to anyone and everyone, and they'll end up creating themselves a monster and building three different businesses at the same time. Whereas if you create an environment where you make a promise, and then you find people that you know that you can get that promise with because they meet certain criteria, that makes your life 10 times easier and it's a lot more fun. And then you actually believe in what you do a lot more because you've created the environment of belief.
And then you're so right, 100%. And like, as I said, it really is a mindset that you've got to build in the background for yourself, but you've also got to understand the mindset of the individual that you're making contact with. You know, they're going to be skeptical.
100%.
They're not sure that, you know, you're the right person. And, you know, you've just got to give them enough information come across to trust you and like you and so forth.
Yeah. And I mean, let's be honest. I mean, there's so much noise out there at the moment. Most people have either invested in a coach or consultant before, or a marketing agency, or they've invested in something, they've spent money on something that hasn't worked out.
Yeah.
And people are jaded and they're skeptical. So, you know, you've got to have something that solves, and we look at it like, instead of trying to sell everything all at the same time, sell one piece of the puzzle, help them get the result with that, make it an easy yes for them, and then give them the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And that way we find that, you know, not only do your front end sales become easy, but you also start building lifetime value and people stay with you for longer.
Yeah, very good. I love that. What's the one thing I suppose you can share with somebody that is on that borderline of what to do, confusion, you know, been there, done that, hasn't worked, and now, you know, they're trying to decide, well, do I jump into LinkedIn?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question and one that we get all the time. And I think the first thing is you've got to look at going back is if you look at the history of what's happened before and ask yourself the question, well, why didn't it work out? And very often what we see is that it didn't work out for people because they weren't fully committed to it or they weren't fully focused on it. So they were doing 10 other things and they thought, oh, that looks nice, shiny object. I'm going to invest in that and I'm going to dabble on it. And, you know, there's a lot of great marketers out there who are promising the world. And if they make it feel like, okay, you get in and then you do nothing and everything's going to be amazing, right? Which is not the case. And they buy into that thinking, well, I don't have to do anything and everything's going to happen. So I would first look at going back, what have I done before? What worked? What didn't work? You know, was it me? And, you know, be brutally honest with yourself. Was I just not 100% focused? And it's okay if you weren't. We've all done it. We've all got a million things going on. We've all been focused and not focused and things have worked and things haven't. So first was it me? Was it the wrong program in terms of, did it not align with my business strategy? Did they not understand my business, where I'm going, what I need to do? Maybe they didn't understand my market. And the next thing is, or maybe it wasn't delivered in a way that I'm truly looking for. So when you're looking to invest, and we all know it's like, investment and self-growth never stops, right? Or it shouldn't.
Yeah.
And that can be in business, if that's your line. You know, if you are a professional sports person, you continuously invest in equipment, in coaching, and making yourself better, whatever it is. But I'd be asking the questions of, when you're looking for somebody to help you grow, do they understand my business model? Mm-hmm. Number one, we deal with a lot of B2B service providers. And most marketers out there are helping clients in the B2C market.
Yeah.
They don't understand what it takes to reach those CEOs, those high-level clients in a B2B way.
Yeah.
So do they understand my market and what I'm trying to achieve? Most of our clients only need between 1 to 5 new clients a month to hit their goals. Some of them, it's 1 to 5 clients a year to hit their goals and they've got a 7-figure business.
Yeah.
So do they understand the business? Am I partnering with somebody? So am I getting support on a deeper level than just another course or something else? And have they embraced technology? Are they using AI so that we can move faster and get results? Are they using automation in the right way to be able to get the results that I want? And then the third thing is like, do they really care?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, no,
And then I think
I
we can
agree.
add.
Yeah.
Sorry, after you.
When you look at when you look at the context of what you've just spoke about and what you've gone through, it's so true. The everything has to stack up. All of what you have explained has to be there for in order to make it work. Because even I remember going back, must have been 7, 8 years ago, and I jumped into LinkedIn. I had a company, and I paid them to do it every month, but I was running a different business. And I was just going, yeah, look, grand. I get flowed with clients, and I didn't get any, but they got my account banned in the end because I was putting them under so much pressure. It was my fault because I was putting them under pressure, saying, you got to get results and blah blah blah. But the reality of it is, I wasn't in it. My heart wasn't in it. My energy wasn't in it. They were doing the messages. It was nothing got to do with what I was saying or what I was doing. And I think that's where it all goes pear shaped for everybody. You've explained
100%.
exactly to what it should be. You've got to be in it. You've got to, time and energy, but you've got to do smarter, not harder. You don't have to necessarily work harder. You've just got to put the right energy in and as you say, do the foundation and the groundwork.
And it's interesting. I'll give you two different examples to help illustrate this as well. So we've worked with clients in the past who have paid us a lot of money, and they're like, "Just do it for me and get going." And so we agree, and we say, "Cool, but we need you in certain areas to help drive this thing forward because we don't know what's in your head and what's in your message." We've done all the work, we've done all the right things, but then they keep changing things and not actually getting involved. They don't get their team involved. They don't drive access. They're just like, "You guys sort it out and make it happen. I just want calls booked in my diary." Most of the time, when we get people like that, it kind of works, right? But it's not a good experience for them. It's not a good experience for us, and we don't want to do that. Then, on the flip side of it, we worked with this one company who had 15 salespeople, and they had, regional managers, area managers. The managing director was working with us, and he was driving everything. And it was easy. I mean, they paid us $60,000. We had a call once a week, and they got massive, massive, massive results. But the reason they got the results was because the managing director, he's now the CEO, he's been promoted. The managing director at the time was involved in every aspect. They used to take it to their meetings. They used to drive everything forward. The regional managers would be in there. They were committed to the process, and they made it their focus because they knew the ideal clients are here, but it's not driving things forward. So that's the difference between focusing on it and giving your all. And they did like 500, and this was already doing an eight-figure business. And in when I interviewed him afterwards, he's like, "We came to you guys because we wanted leads, and we got tons of leads. We got like over 600 leads. But the thing that got us the most traction was having everybody aligned and moving in the same direction using the same system."
And I love that. It's so true. Look, again, when you look at whether it's a business or whether it's a coach or consultant, if you're not keeping the numbers, you're not keeping on top of it, you're not tracking it properly. And I do say to I do say to people, look, how many calls, like they say, oh, I need to get business. I say, how many calls have you made today, or how many emails have you sent out, or how many people have you followed up with? And in a lot of cases, it's sporadic. It's not constant, but when you do a constant, you see the numbers. Well, look, I made 10 calls, I made 10 phone calls, I got two prospects, but I made no sales. Well, okay, now you got to clean up your sales. Or if it's something like I made 10 phone calls, I got one sale, well then let's look at getting more results with the phone call. So it's like what you said, when you track and put your energy into it, you start to see what the problems are, and you start to be able to fix them.
100%. And it's so interesting. If I think back to, and I was chatting to my wife about this a little bit earlier today. If I think back to my door-to-door sales days, and sometimes it's just the market, sometimes it's the area you're in. There were days where I would knock 300 doors, right? And just no one's home. So you just keep knocking, keep going around the block again and again and again and again and again. And I'll end up getting two deals. Right now, that's low. I would normally get like between 5 and 10 in a day, but I worked hard for that. And once again, it's just the numbers. Sometimes it's the area as well. We went to other areas where I would knock like 14 doors and get 14 deals, right? Work the
Persistence.
numbers. Sometimes it's going to be great, sometimes it's not.
And that's the thing about it as well, and that's what numbers tell you, when you do an average, but also it means that You know, as you said, like you could look at depending on the income, it depends on, you know, for maybe the door-to-door sales, it depends on the area that you're trying to specialize in. And again, when we do that from business to business, it doesn't mean that you're going to make a sale, you know, for every 100 people you call, say if you're getting a 1% or 10%, but it just means if you're consistent, you will get the average.
Exactly.
Yeah.
100%. And exactly like you said as well, is then you can start looking back at the numbers and saying, okay, well, what's working and what's not working? If we're knocking a lot of doors, but we're not getting a lot of conversations, well, then something's wrong with the front end message. Like, let's tweak that and let's test that out, see if we can fix that, get some of those numbers up. I mean, we're running some campaigns right now for a webinar, well, for webinars that we're running. And we found out that we've been getting like a 70% open rate on our emails.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas before it was about 15%.
Right.
All we did was we changed the message. We came up with a better message, and all of a sudden things are working again.
Makes a difference. Yeah. I think that's the other key to it as well, is that everything is always testing. You know, you can do an A/B test and, you know, you don't have to give up the way you're doing something, but a slight tweak can sometimes make a significant difference.
Well, it's the marketer's mindset, isn't it? One of our core values is that we're in it to win it. And what that means is that we don't play not to lose. We play to win,
Yeah.
right? So we're either winning or we're learning, but we're always moving forward and we're always leveling up.
I love that. Yeah. And look, and it really is, again, I'll go back to the mindset. When we look at, you can go on the basis of assumption of having received what you're going after, but at the same time, you've got to bear in mind that there is somebody else at the end of what you're doing, and you've got to be diplomatic and, you know, almost like psychology you've got to use to bring them through that transformation.
I call it respecting the sales process.
Yeah.
Too many people out there go and exactly like, I mean, you've done this, I've done this. Hey, here's my thing. Who wants to buy it? And like throwing it in people's faces. We've all done it as business owners. We've all tried that direct approach. But you actually don't respect the sales process. You don't realize, like you said, that there is another human being on the other end, where we're not just trying to get married after saying hello. We need to build that relationship. Now, my goal as we go through this, and this was the number one thing that I thought was, how do we shorten that time in building that relationship? How can we build that relationship faster so the sales process happens a lot quicker? We don't discard it or discard steps, but we shorten them.
Yeah, no, I love that. Matt, it's been a pleasure. I have loved the information that you have shared about LinkedIn and AI and how to help somebody progress with their business. And I'm going to ask you the magic question, and that is, how do people make contact with you or your company so that they can maybe find out more information about what you do?
Yeah, amazing. Thank you. And the first place is obviously on LinkedIn. So Matt Clark Rainmaker. And it's the same thing for Instagram, for Facebook. So Matt Clark Rainmaker. And then even if they want to go to our website, thevirtualedge.co.com, thevirtualedge.com, those are the best places to reach us. And yeah, pretty simple and straightforward.
Fantastic, Matt. It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for sharing all that information.
Thank you so much for having me, Barry.